into whatever state of glory that He has prepared for us. So you can see it's either Jesus does a U-turn with us following Him, or we do a U-turn and come down here, land with Him on the Mount of Olives. You can see that the character, there seems to be a dual character of all the scriptures on the second coming. So different that there's no way you could harmonize it except to split it into two parts. A Gentile dispensation second coming and a Jewish dispensation second coming, separated by a period of 7 years. We get the 7 years from the book of Daniel. And the character is different. The character is His first coming is for us to receive the church, the fullness of the church, and to take us into glory. And we're not going to go up with Him and then come down and attack the Antichrist, fight with him. That's not what it's for. It's a different thing altogether. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is obviously for destruction. And that can only take place, as it makes it very clear, for the Jews. He is to punish and destroy. But here in chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, let's read this verse. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Do you notice that there seems to be two groupings? There is a grouping called He is going to be glorified among or in His saints. But then the second part, to be admired among all those who believe. Who are these admired among those who believe? Is it us? See, what will happen if you take the view of the two-part coming? Here's the period of the 7 years, alright? So let me stretch the 7 years right now as we come to this part. There is a first part that we call the calling up and meeting Him in the air. And for short, people use the word rapture. And they're taken up in the air. The moment they're taken up, there is a manifestation of the Antichrist. In chapter 2, it says, in verse 7, see, here He gives a twofold mystery. He says, chapter 2, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Who is the He? The answer to that question determines your view of the second coming. Who is the He? Right? Now the He here cannot be referring to Almighty God. Because He said when He is taken out of the way, nobody takes God out of the way. The He is a special reference. Who is the He? I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible put the He as capital. I think they want to honor the Lord to show that the He is, you know, somebody divine. Now, as we look carefully, He who now restrains or stops the spirit of lawlessness from working, that prevents the Antichrist from coming. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is talking about something taking place. There is something, rather, there is someone preventing the Antichrist from manifesting. The answer to the He is important. Okay, let's give a few candidates for the He. Definitely that He cannot be the devil, because it will be devil working against devil. and that He cannot be God the Father because nobody takes God the Father away. That He can it be the Lord Jesus Christ, but why should Jesus be taken away? And where do you take Him away to? The He, is it the Holy Spirit, which is the most evangelical view that many people take? The He is the Holy Spirit. But I have a problem with that. The reason is, if the He is the Holy Spirit, then you got to say that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken away. And I believe that in that 7-year period, there's going to be a sort of revival still. A different type that we're going to look at afterwards. If we have time, otherwise we wait till you go to Revelation. That the Holy Spirit will be working mightily. Still. Now let me quickly give a few clues. The moment that we're taken off, how will God witness to the world? Although it's the Jewish dispensation, it will be different because now Jesus has been resurrected from the dead and the gospel is now going forth. So there will be a difference because the gospel is now going to be the means of salvation still. It doesn't mean Jewish dispensation, then they go back to the blood sacrifice and salvation. No, the gospel is still the salvation. So who are going to preach the gospel? How will they do it? The moment the church is raptured, in the book of Revelation, let me give a few clues. The book of Revelation. Ooh, wow, praise the Lord. Revelation, please. We see here in chapter 11, there will be two witnesses, Revelation 11. And people are still arguing about who the two witnesses are, and we will only start looking at that in the book of Revelation. But there will be two witnesses. One of them is Elijah, the other people are still debating whether it's Enoch or whether it's Moses. These two were manifest in Israel and challenged the Antichrist. And so for 3.5 years. Plus, during that time in chapter 7 of Revelation, there will be 12,000 of each of the tribe of Israel, altogether 12 times 12, making 144,000, and these 144,000 will be preaching the gospel all over. So there will be a lot of witness going on still. Right, let's come down to this point here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If the He is the Holy Spirit, I don't see how the 144,000 and Elijah and the other witness can be a witness without the Holy Spirit. I still believe it's a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit must not be taken. They need Him. If He's taken off, they are finished. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, it's only the Spirit of God who can raise up a standard against him. Right, so we have sort of showed that it's quite difficult to accept the traditional view that He is just the Holy Spirit. Why should He be taken out of the way when they need Him most? I mean, the Antichrist and the spirit of the devil is working in Antichrist. They need the Holy Ghost. The He has one more qualification. The church of Jesus Christ. See, but I thought the church is a bride, and a bride is a she. Does it mean, therefore, that if I'm born again, I'm apostle she? No, the church as a bride has nothing to do with a gender description. Because the church also has been described in Ephesians 4 as a man. And the church that is mature is called a mature man in Christ. That's in Ephesians 4. Let's have a quick turn there. Ephesians 4. It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. We becoming one perfect man. And I believe that the best choice of all the candidates for the word He in 2 Thessalonians 2 is the church. Somehow, even though it's not at that stage and not at the level of perfection, we are the salt of the earth. We are preserving lawlessness and the devil from destroying the fabric of society. Somehow, the light of Jesus Christ shines. And there's a preserving force that flows forth from the church. In 2 Thessalonians 2, and as long as the church is around, the Antichrist can't show up. So the church is the He. And the church in verse 7 will be taken out of the way. And that again confirms the two-part coming. Before the Antichrist can come, the church must be taken. When the church is taken out of the way, then the devil will manifest. He will manifest forth. And he will be revealed in verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed. And Antichrist will show up. And some of the things that he mentioned about Antichrist, we're going to look more into detail when we look at Revelation, the manifestation of Antichrist. Like in verse 4, he opposes and he calls himself God and all these things. All this takes place during the 7-year tribulation. In the middle of it, he shows forth his true evil nature. In chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, see there are many key verses here. So we realize here that if the church is taken here up, and then there's a 7-year tribulation and 144 witnesses and 2 witnesses, etc., we're taken up. Then we come. Remember that the 7-year period is divided into two parts, and both parts are different in character and in every situation, because the 2 witnesses and 144,000 all did their witness in the first 3.5 years. The moment the abomination and desolation came, all witness ends. It was full-scale destruction that we're going to consider in the book of Revelation. Destruction after destruction, judgment after judgment. That's why the call is, go to the mountains. So every other place is not safe. Full-scale destruction from God Himself takes place. And then, we have been all the time up there. Then when Jesus comes, there we are. We are glorified in Him. And then who are those who admire and who believe with Him? The survivors. Those who are hiding in a place that we call Petra, in the mountains, the rock, in Judea. And they will come forth and receive and acknowledge Jesus. That's the second group, who look forward to Him. So there is a two-part coming that the scripture shows very clearly. Now in chapter 3, as we conclude, looking at all these aspects, there are a lot of Christians like Paul showed forth who are confused in all these areas. And some of the Thessalonians, when they read 1 Thessalonians and read about the Lord coming like a thief in the night, they also panic because they thought He has come. And they had missed His coming. And some thought He's going to come so close, so near, that they stopped working altogether. And they're not doing anything at all. And Paul wrote this letter, as he concludes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, how to look forward to Jesus coming in a view of this two-part coming. How do we handle our lives? In chapter 3, he says here, in verse, let me read about those problems that they have here in verse 7. Verse 7, for you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because